Okay, today's daf is Beitza daf Lamed Hey. Today we finish the fourth parak and begin the fifth and final parak of Maseches Beitza. So we are holding on daf Lamed Dalid Amid Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing, and we're going to continue to discuss for a little bit, whether Shabbos is Koveya produce that is not yet Nigmar Melachta. We pointed out that in order to be Chayiv in Trumas Maestros, produce needs to go through two stages. First, it needs to be Nigmar Melachta. You have to finish the production of the produce. You have to finish whatever you're going to do with it to prepare it for eating. And then the second thing it needs to have is Re'ias Pnei Abayis or Re'ias Pnei Chatzer. It needs to be brought into a Chatzer or a Bayis in the normal way. So we know that having Shabbos can substitute for Re'ias Pnei Abayis and Re'ias Pnei Chatzer, but can having Shabbos also substitute for Nigmar Malachto, meaning will it become Chayv in Trumas Maestros once it's Nigmar Malachto? So we're going to begin with that discussion, and the Gemara is going to prove on Amar Aleph that Rabbi Lazar holds that Shabbos is Koveya, just like Truma is Koveya, even when it's not Nigmar Malachto, Shabbos can substitute for Nigmar Malachto. The Gemara is then going to try to bring a Raya from even the Shita of the Rabbanan, not just from Shitas Rabbi Lazar, but from even the Shita of the Rabbanan, that Shabbos is Koveya. Then the Gemara is going to raise a Stira within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And then on the bottom of Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to tell us that according to Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shabbos, Truma, Chatzer, and Mekach are four things that are all Koveya only when you have Nigmar Malachto. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to seem to say otherwise, that when that Shabbos cannot substitute for Nigmar Malachto, Shabbos is Koveya only if Nigmar Malachto. And the Gemara is going to explain why we give that list of four things, what the Chiddush is in each of those four things, that they're only Koveya once you have a Gemar Malacha. Then the beginning of the next parak is going to discuss if you have fruits that might get ruined by water, either by rainwater or by a leak or something, how to take care of those fruits and move them on Yontif, even though they may be Muktza, when one is allowed to move them, or how one is allowed to protect them. The Gemara is going to point out that there are five different words that may be the first word of the next parak, maybe the first word of the fifth parak. We have the word Mashilin, but there are four other words that might also be the correct word, and it's going to show the basis for each of those words, because they all really mean the same thing. And then the last discussion on the daf is going to be, if you're going to move peros to protect them, how many peros is one permitted to move? Are you allowed to move an unlimited number of peros, or is there some sort of limit to how many peros one is permitted to move? So let us begin now on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the end of the page. The Gemara again was discussing whether Shabbos is Koveya even for produce that did not yet have a Gemar Malacha. So we had said yesterday that it was Limud Aruch Hu Biyadeinu, that we have a Kabbalah that Shabbos is Koveya, whether it's something that's Nigmar Malachto, whether it's something that's not Nigmar Malachto, Shabbos is always going to be Koveya. So Amar Zuch Reid Rav Nachman Afananami Tanina. Marzutz Reid Rav Nachman says, yeah, and we learned that way in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, our Mishnah said, Va'odam Rabbi Lazar, Omir Adam Alamukzer of Shabbos Beshvius, that a person can stand near his produce that he has drying on his roof on Erev Shabbos during a Shemitah year. And the point is, the reason we discussed a Shemitah year, presumably, as we're about to say, is because during Shemitah year, you don't have any worries about Chumas and Maestros, and you can designate which fruits you want to be able to eat the next day. So, Taima de Shvius, Talav Barisurihu, the whole reason that it's okay is because it's Shemitah year, and therefore it's not Chayiv and Trumas Maisos, so that's a non-issue, it's a non-factor during Shemitah year. But the implication is, HaBishar Shnei Shavua, HaChinami Da'asar, that if it were any other year beside for Shemitah year, then it would be a problem, because you'd have a Trumas Maisos problem. You can't take Trumas Maisos on Shabbos, and the stuff is going to be Chayiv and Trumas Maisos. So my time, what's the reason that it's Chayiv and Trumas Maisos? Lav Mishum De Shabbos Kava? Isn't it because Shabbos is Kaveya for Trumas Maisos? So the very fact that it's going to go through Shabbos is going to be mechayev in Trumas HaMaisros. So don't you see that Shabbos is kaveh from the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer? So it says, lo, shayni yasam, kibin damar mikana niyochal machar, kavalei laveh. No, over there it's not Shabbos that's kaveh. It's his verbal declaration that he plans on eating from this food. That's what's kaveh. Meaning, when we say that in order to have a kaveh, in order to create a chiv Trumas HaMaisros, you need gemar melacha. So what defines gemar malacha. So sometimes gemar malacha is you've done everything you can do with these peros. You piled them, you smoothed out the pile, you took care of everything you need to take care of with these peros. Or maybe Shabbos is so chashuv that that's koveya. But what's certainly koveya for achila is if you say I want to eat this. So then that's obviously going to be koveya for achila. So that's what's koveya over there, not Shabbos. So ihachi frakli gemar. If that's the case, my yiri Shabbos afilu b'chol nami. So why does our Mishnah talk about a case of Shabbos? If the point is that what's koveya over here is not Shabbos, what's koveya is the verbal declaration, so then let the Mishnah talk about a case of a weekday. So right away the Rishonim pick up on a problem over here. What kind of question is this? Let it talk about a weekday. The whole point, why is this Mishnah Maseches Beitzah? Because we're talking about dinim of mukta, right? So we have to talk about the halachos of mukta. Anyway, forget about the halachos. You're right. The gabe halachos of Trumas and Maestros, it could have been talking about a weekday. Because in terms of the halachos of Trumas and Maestros, when's this produce going to become chayv in Trumas and Maestros? It could have been a weekday. As soon as you verbally declare that you want to eat it, it's chayv in Trumas and Maestros. But we're talking about mukta over here, and we have to know the halach of mukta. You can't talk about mukta on a Tuesday. Mukta is obviously only going to be on Shabbos. So Rashi points out, my area Shabbos, my area on the first very wide line, my area dashminan hach b'Shabbos, lashminan b'chol u'b'seder zra'im. Let it teach us this halacha about being koveh l'maiser, not in Maseches Beita. Teach it in Seder Zra'im about the, when it's amongst all the other halachos of Trumas and Maestros. V'hacha liflugu ba'achana de gozlos. Over here, why do we have to talk about produce? In terms of mukta, let us talk about birds. K'diflugu b'sham b'sil b'breira. Just like we had machlokas earlier. So now Tosus points out, no, that can't be what the Gemara is asking, that let this be included in the Mishnah about the birds. Because Tosus on the top of this Amud Lam Dalad Amud Beis went through why this is not the same machlokas as the machlokas by the birds. That this is a totally different case than the case by the birds. We saw that in Tosos yesterday. So Tosos says that if you in Tosos Dibra Maskul Ihachi, Tosos writes at the end, Inami Achi Purushal Hashmin Bechol Di Dibur Koveh Ubaachana Liflugu Plukta Dibesil Beshame Gabigoldos. I'm sorry, that's where Tosos says like Rashi. But a few lines before that, Tosos says, He says, you have to realize the Mishnah is teaching me two halachos. The Dibur Koveya, number one, that Dibur is Koveya for Trumas Maestros, Vashmin and Dinachana, and it's also telling us how to make it not Mukta, how to designate it in advance of Shabbos. Dimkein Lashmin and Bechol Dibur Koveya Davirubusa Tvei. So let it teach us the halach of Dibur Koveya, the Trumas Maestros halach, on a weekday, upluk the dachan, lashmin b'makom acher beperus musukanim im kinsel notzer b'tzarich shir shom lamar sagi lomer mikanani notel mash b'nakat. So and let it teach the other halacha in some other mishnah in the mesechta. Lav dafka about the gozlos, but in some other mishnah in the mesechta about muktza. So that's what the Gemara is asking. If what's really koveya the chiyuv of meister over here is your verbal declaration and not Shabbos, why does the mishnah specifically discuss a case of Shabbos? So says Gemara, it needs to discuss the case of Shabbos. Tell me a different halacha. Hakamashmalan, the tevel muchan who eats al Shabbos, shemavres sikna masukan. It comes to tell me that tevel is not a muktza problem in the sense that it's not muktza machmas iser. One might flip that since one is not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maestros on Shabbos, tevel by definition is muktza machmas iser because you're not allowed to fix it on Shabbos. But since that iser is only midrabanan to be misakin tevel, the chiddush is that it's not muktza machmas iser. The only way to teach us that is by having the case speak about specifically Shabbos. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second, v'alomo saru chozer. But isn't this, how can you say that the kviyus over here is because of the person's dibur? The halacha is that even if you take a lot of tevel on a weekday and you designate the items that you're taking, you want to use them, so you take a lot of the tevel on a weekday, if it's something that you can always put back in the original pile of tevel, so the halacha is that it's not koveya. Now that's even if you physically took it. Over here, what are we saying? That verbally declaring that you want to use this produce, that's what makes it koveya lemaiser? Even if you were to physically take it, it wouldn't be koveya lemaiser if you could just put back the extras. Meaning only when you take something permanently out of the tevel and decide to use it. Only then is it kovei lemeiser. So how could a verbal declaration possibly be kovei lemeiser? V'alo mosoru chozer v'shamini le Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds darm kolheich de mosoru chozer lo kava. We know that Rabbi Elazar holds that whenever you would put back the extras, that's not kovei for meiser. Why do we? How do we know that Rabbi Elazar holds that? It's not. We have a mishnah that says as follows: Hanotel zeisim in a ma'atan. If a person takes olives from the ma'atan, Rashi says it's a ma'atan is a large kli where they would stuff a whole bunch of olives in to so that they can get soft and then they'll be much easier to press to get oil out of. So if a person takes some olives from this kli, tovel achas achas b'melech va'ochel, he could take one at a time, dip it in some salt, and snack on it. Meaning he didn't take trumas ma'ases from this. This is nachilas arai, so he's taking nachilas arai because it's not nigmar malach yet. Vim tovel v'nasan l'fan of asara chayiv. But if he takes 10 out, he takes a whole bunch out at one time, then they're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Lozer says, min ma'atan tohar chayiv. If he took it out of a tohar kli, then it's going to be chayiv. Min ma'atan tameh, but if the whole kli that he took it from was tameh, potter, mibreshu machzir samoser, then it's going to be potter because he could always put back the extras. Ravinabai, we asked about that line of Rabbi Lozer. What's he talking about? Maishna resha, maishna seifa. Why, when you take it from a tohar kli, do we assume you cannot put back the extras, but when you take it from a tamei kli, we assume you can put back the extras. V'yamar Rabbi Avo, reisha b'matan tar v'gavra tamei, d'lo matzi mahadilei. The reisha was talking about, yes, you were taking from a tahar kli, the guy taking it was tamei. So it was a tamei guy taking from a tahar kli. So whatever he took automatically became Tamei. So now he can't put back the extras because then he's going to be metamei whatever's left in the kli. And that's why you're not allowed to put it back. Seifa b'ma'atan tamei v'gavra tamei d'matzi mahadilei. Whereas the other case, when you're taking from a tamei kli and you yourself are tamei, so then you're allowed to put back the extras because everything's tamei anyway. But the bottom line is that you see, according to Rabbi Eliezer, any time you could put back the extras, it is not, you removing some of the produce is not koveya achiv of trum. So how could it be that according to Rabbi Elazar, just saying I want to use this tomorrow from Mikan Vad Kan or whatever, just identifying what you want to use tomorrow is going to be Kovei L'Maiser? Even physically taking it is not Kovei L'Maiser. Verbally taking it should for sure not be Kovei L'Maiser. So says Gemara, Masnisa Nami B'Muktza Tar V'Gavra Tameh D'Lo Matzi Mahadilei. Maybe our mission is talking about the produce that you're designating as Tahar and the guy is Tameh, and therefore you cannot put it back the next day. So that's why it could work even according to Rabbi Eliezer, and it will be Kovei L'Maiser. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. In the case of our Mishnah, the whole idea of the guy being Tameh and the produce being Tahar is that when he touches it, he's metameh it. In our Mishnah, he's not touching anything. He's looking at it, and he's just saying, I want to use that tomorrow. So v'alo mokzorn v'omdinhein. Forget about being able to be machzir samoser, being able to put back what's extra. It's already back. It was never taken in the first place. Nothing ever physically was done. So back to the question, how can you say, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's the verbal declaration that's koveya? It can't be. It's that any time, even if you physically took it, it wouldn't be koveya if it's masara chozer. Ella am Rav Simi Barashi Rabbi Elazar kamrit. So rather, Rav Simi Barashi says, you're right. You're bringing a raya from Rabbi Elazar that Shabbos is koveya for Meiser. That Shabbos is koveya for Meiser. Yeah, Rabbi Elazar l'tameh. This is Rabbi Elazar l'shitaso. Dabar truma kava v'kolshkein Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar holds truma's koveya l'meiser. Meaning the halacha is that that if you, according to Rabbi Elazar, that if a person takes truma from the produce, so that's koveya achiyuv of Meiser, even though it was not yet nigmar malachto. The fact that something that's not nigmar malachto, if you decided to take truma from it already before you eat from it, so that creates a chiyuv of maisos, because trumas and maisos go together. So that's enough of a kaviyus to create a truma, a chiyuv of maisos. So if trumas koveya, Shabbos is for sure koveya. That's Rabbi Elazar shita. Ditznan peros shatar manachlo nigmar malachton. The Mishnah says that if you have peros that truma was taken from before you had a gemar malacha, Rabbi Elazar also lechol men arai. Rabbi Elazar says you're not allowed to eat from them arai anymore. You're not allowed to snack from them anymore because now it has a chiyuv of maisos. The Chum matir and the Chum disagree. The Chum say just because you took truma, it doesn't substitute for a gemar malacha. But the bottom line is, we have a raya that Rabbi Eliezer holds Shabbos is koveya l'maiser, but we're still stuck. Do we want to know what do we hold? Do we hold that Shabbos is Kaveh Lemaiser? So we're still stuck with that question, and now we're going to try to bring a second raya. Before we get to the second raya, though, we had mentioned that if the person is taking olives out of a tahar kli, and the person himself is tameh, so that's called ein mosaro chozer, that he's not allowed to put the extras back. Why? Because when he took the olives, he made the olives that he took tameh, so if he can't put back the extras, because then it's going to be metameh, whatever he puts back. Frekt Rashi, vim tomar, hare nit muzese amatem kishenatel mehen, when you took the olives that you took out of the kli, weren't you metame all of the olives in the kli? So meaning when you obviously touched the kli, you removed olives from the kli. So you weren't only metame the olives that you took by being tame and removing some of the olives. You must have been metame everything. So he says, no, not true. Lo tame el makom magao v'yachol salkel misham. Maybe you were only metame the exact area that you touched, but you were not metame the rest of the kli. Meaning it's a pile of olives. You're not metame all of the olives. You're metame the olives that you touch, and the ones that you touched that you didn't remove, you could trim off the top. That you could remove rather easily. Tosfos says, or it could be that you took it with pshute kliyetz. You didn't take it with your hands. You took a flat piece of wood and you removed it, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Or you had someone else remove it for you and give it to you, so it wasn't metame what was in the kli. But Rashi's answer seems to be that enochinami, when you remove a bunch of olives from the kli, let's say you stick your hand in, right, and you pull out a handful of olives, so there are olives that touch the back of your hand that are now tame. So you're going to have to skim those off the top for sure in order to maintain the tara of the rest of the kli. So it's a very sharp kasha the Tosfos Rid raises over here. He says, how do we view a bunch of olives inside this ma'atan, inside this large kli? Is it one large unit of olives, or is it that we view each olive independently? And he said, Mimanav Shach, we have a problem over here. The halach is ochel cannot be mekabel tuma bepachos mikabetza. Food less than the size of a kabetza cannot be mekabel tuma. No matter what your sheer kezias is, it's pachos mikabetza. The definition of kezias is as pachos mikabetza, that it's a chati betza, a shlish betza, right? But it's definitely pachos mikabetza. That's why we suggest, that's perhaps why the minhag Yisrael is that when we make an erev tafshilin, we dafka use a betza, because we know that you have to have a kezias of food. So one way you're sure that you have a kezias of food is if you use an egg, because an egg is bigger than a zayis. That's clear. So if the halacha is that ochel gromi mekabel tuma when it's pachos mikabetza, so if all the zaysim are considered one unit, so then the whole bundle should be considered tame. The whole barrel should be considered tame. It doesn't matter, they only touch some of them. If it's all one unit, the whole thing is tame. And if we view each olive independently, none of them should be tame. Every olive that you touch, you only touch, is the size of a kezayis. Every olive that you touch is pachos mikabetza. So none of it should become tame. So the Tosrid Bedochak has to say that the tziruf works in order for it to be mekabel tuma, but the tziruf does not work to make it like one unit, that if they all become tame when you touch one of them. That it works as a partial tziruf, which is a very, very shver of art. Why should it work as a partial tziruf? But that's the al karchach. That's what you have to say, certainly according to Rashi's understanding of our Gemara. So says Gemara Vaitinat.
Does Rashi mean that you actually cut the olives in pieces and you take part of the olives off, or you just remove the olives that you touched with the
back? Oh, I assumed he meant that you're just removing the olives that you, because it talks about numbers of olives, right? Asara, so it sounds like you're taking full olives. So Tashma, so the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the sheet of the Rabbanan. Tashma mi Seifa. Let's bring a raya from Vayter in our Mishnah, from the Seifa of our Mishnah. V'cham omrim ad sheyirshum v'yomer mikan v'ad kan. Meaning the point is that is as far as the halachos of Trumas and Maestros and what's kaveh for Trumas and Maestros, there is no machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. The whole machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan is in the laws of muktzah, right? Is in the laws of what's considered designating something for use. But with regards to Trumas and Maestros, there is no machlokas. So the same raya we had, what Rabbi Elazar's shita was, that Shabbos is kaveya for Trumas and Maestros, is going to be the same raya that we have for the Rabbanan shita, because they agree on that level, right? The Rabbanan just say that you have to identify specifically which fruits you want to use the next day in terms of the muktzah issue. But again, time of Derev Shabbos b'Shvi'is la'Avir Surihu, we specifically set up the case to be talking about during the Shemitah year, where there is no chiva chumas maestros. Habeshar shnei shavuot de bnei asurim ninu asurim. But the implication is that if it were not shmita yeru biyaser, my time alav mishum de Shabbos kava, same raya we had before, isn't because Shabbos is kaveya. So Gemara gives the same answer we tried before. Lo shai niyasim kivin dam mikan viad kana niochel lemachar kavalei. No, your verbal declaration was kaveya, so therefore it's not a raya. It's not Shabbos that was kaveya. It was your verbal declaration that was kaveya. So why doesn't the Gemara now ask Mosara Choser, but whenever it's because it tells us points out that is only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds if it's Mosara Choser, it's low kava. So that part is not going to, we get to cut that part of the conversation out. So Gemara skips straight ahead to the next step. Ihachi Mayir Shabbos Afilu Bechol Nami. Why do we have to talk about Shabbos? Well, actually, Mosara Choser comes up later. So after this, we skip to the next step. Mayir Shabbos Afilu Bechol Nami. Why is it that we talk about Shabbos if the whole point is that it's the verbal declaration that's Koveya and it's not the Shabbos that's Koveya, so why set up the case to be talking about Shabbos? So Hakamash Mlan the Tevel Muchan who waits till Shabbos Shemar V'tikna Musukan. No, it has. It's Dafka wants to set up the case to be talking about Shabbos to tell me that the Tevel is not Muksa Machmas Iser to be Mafresh Shumas Amaisros. And now the Gemara can't ask, I what about Masoru Choser? Because that's only Akasha on Rabbi Eliezer. So bottom line is, according to the Rabbanan, we thought we had a raya that Shabbos is Koveya, but we reject the raya because according to the Rabbanan, it could very well be that all our Mishnah is telling us is that your verbal declaration is Koveya Lemaiser, but not that Shabbos is Koveya Lemaiser. Good. So what we have when all the dust settles is a clear raya that Rabbi Eliezer holds Shabbos is Koveya Lemaiser, but no raya that the Rabbanan holds Shabbos is Koveya Lemaiser. Shabbos may not be Koveya on something that's not Nigmar Malachto, obviously. On something that's not Nigmar Malachto, Shabbos may not be Koveya according to the Rabbanan. So says Gemara, but within Rabbi Eliezer we thought we had a good raya. So now, Urimini, I'll ask you a stiru within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Haya ochel be'eshkol, if a person was eating a cluster of grapes, let's say, v'nitnas megina chatzer, and he enters while he's eating from the gina to the chatzer. So normally re-espanei chatzer matters. So he's eating and he walks right into the chatzer. Reb Lazar Omer Yigmar. Reb Lazar says, okay, he started eating. Let him finish eating. Reb Yishua Omer Lo Yigmar. Reb Yishua says, no, he just had re-espanei chatzer. He got to stop eating. Chashcha b'leil Shabbos. A similar case. Let's say a person's eating and then Shabbos comes. It gets dark, so it becomes Shabbos. Reb Lazar Omer Yigmar. Reb Lazar says, okay, he started eating. Let him finish eating. Rabbi Shua Omer Lo Yigmar. Rabbi Shua says he cannot finish eating. Now Rabbi Lezer says you could finish eating because Shabbos is not Koveya, something that's not Nigmar Malachto, apparently. Meaning, you're allowed to continue to eat even though it is in fact Shabbos, but you didn't have a Gemar Malacha. The assumption is if you're eating a cluster of something, it wasn't a Gemar Malacha. Most grapes, we assume, are designated for making wine. So munching on a cluster of grapes is something that didn't have a Gemar Malacha, and nevertheless, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer says you can be Gomer, apparently because Shabbos is not Koveya. So how can you say Shabbos is Koveya according to Rabbi Lezer? Says the Gemara, Hasam Ketiktani Taima, Rabbi Nasan Omer Lok Shom Rabbi Lezer Yigmar, Bechatzer Yigmar, El Yotze Chutz Lechatzer V'Yigmar. When Rabbi Lezer spoke about the case of walking into the Chatzer, and he said you could finish eating the grapes, he didn't mean you could finish eating them in the Chatzer, he meant get out of the Chatzer, and then you could finish eating them. And Lok Shom Rabbi Lezer Yigmar, B'Shabbos Yigmar, when he said that you could finish them on, when Shabbos comes, you're allowed to finish them, he didn't mean to say you could finish them on Shabbos, El he only meant that you could finish them on Motzai Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. So Frek tells us, but wait a second. Once Shabbos comes, didn't we say before with the tinokos that put it in yesterday's daf, the tinokos that put away the produce that they planned on using for Shabbos, that Shabbos is koveya, that even on Motzai Shabbos it's going to be, you're not allowed to eat it until you're mafresh shumas maisos? So Tosos says, yeah, but that's because over there, you are specifically miyached them for Achilas Shabbos. So that's a much greater sense of kvius when you specifically designate them for Achilas Shabbos. Over here, you didn't designate anything for Achilas Shabbos. You just happened to be munching on something, and Shabbos happened to have arrived. So that's not as strong a sense of kvius to make it a permanent type of kvius, which just means you can't eat it on Shabbos. Your Achilas Arai that you're going to do on Shabbos is going to be considered an Achilas Keva. But after Shabbos, you will be allowed to eat it again. Now, the case that we gave was Chashcha Belele Shabbos. What does Chashcha mean? Meaning, what time came exactly? So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. Does this mean Seisa Kochavim? That's what Chashcha is? Or does it mean even Ben Hashmashos? It's already Kovei Lemaiser. Which is, what does it mean Shabbos has arrived to be Kovei Lemaiser? So the Rif in Maseches Pesachim says that already at Ben Hashmashos Kovei Lemaiser. The Balamar disagrees. He says only Seisa Kochavim is Kovei Lemaiser. And he's Medayik from the Gemara. Chashcha Belele Shabbos. Chashcha sounds like Seisa Kochavim. The Chamos just points out, no, lav dafka, because the Gemara says that someone's ma'amer peros mi makom l'makom liktsos. He gathers peros from one place to another in order to dry them, and then kiddush aleim ayom, it's kovei l'maiser. Kiddush ayom makes it sound like it's ben hashmashos. So the Gemara is not always obviously 100% precise in the lashonos that he uses. Now this chaps nafka mina not only in terms of chumos amaisos, but we discussed the idea that there is Shabbos is kovei applies to other things as well. Namely, eating before Kiddush. One is not allowed to eat before Kiddush once Shabbos comes. The question is, what's the, because the Gemara in Pesachim says, just like Shabbos Kovei LeMaiser, so too it's Kovei LeKiddush. That's the actual expression of Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kovei. So we have this concept that the same way Shabbos will be Kovei LeMaiser, it's also Kovei LeKiddush to make it Asr to eat before Kiddush. So let's say you have a woman needs to, I got this shot a couple of times, a woman needs to take a pill or something, a medication, she has a bad headache or whatever, and Shabbos started, she didn't hear Kiddush yet. It's Friday night, waiting for her husband to come home, didn't hear Kiddush yet. But it's Ben Hashmashos. So can she, and she can't swallow the pill whole, she needs to take it with water. So can she drink the water with the pill? Is that you're not allowed to drink water before you makabel Shabbos? So before Kiddush. So in Shulchan Aruch Ravi writes that Ben Hashmashos usher to be toim already, because it's already suffik niskade shayom. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says as well. And the Mishnah Berurah says even if you're not makabel Shabbos, but certainly if someone was makabel Shabbos, like if the woman lit candles already and she was makabel Shabbos, it does create an isser of achila. Even if it creates an isser of achila, there are many posts that are makel to drink water at least before Ben Hashmashos, even if she already lit neros, and some even allow sharmashkim. If she's very weak, then probably she should make a tenai at the Shas Adakas Neros that she doesn't want to be Mekabel Shabbos until Shkia, and then she could take her medication in between then and Shkia. But certainly that is an issue in terms of Shabbos being Koveya, not only Legabe Meister, but Legabe Halachas of Kiddush as well. It would seem that way. I mean, the Gemara makes that equation, that kishem. So it sounds like it would be the same time. So says Gemara, what's the halacha over here? So we had a clear proof that Rabbi Elazar holds Shabbos is koveya lemaiser, even when it's not nigmar malachta. We didn't have a clear proof what the Rabbanan hold, but could be the Rabbanan hold Shabbos is koveya. So or Shabbos is not koveya. So says Gemara, ki asa rav nam Rabbi Yochanan echad Shabbos v'echad truma v'echad chatzer v'echad mekach. Kulan ein kovin ela b'davar shenigmar malachtan. The arrival of Shabbos, the hafrasha of truma, bring to a chatzer or making some sort of transaction does not create a chiyuv of trumas and maisos unless you had a gemar malacha. If there is no gemar malacha, it does not create a chiyuv of trumas and maisos. So the Rashma raises the question. So if that's the case, why was it so pashut Rav Nachman previously on Amadal and Beis Talmud Aruch Yadenu? We have a tradition. Shabbos is koveya bein b'davar shenigmar malachta bein b'davar shelo nigmar malachta. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan holds that Shabbos is not koveya b'davar shelo nigmar malachta. So the Rashba says that which Rav Nachman says Shabbos is koveya even when it's not nigmar malachta, that's if you eat it on Shabbos itself. But to eat it on Motzai Shabbos, Shabbos was not koveya to affect even Motzai Shabbos. When Rabbi Yochanan says that it's not koveya b'davar shelo nigmar malachta, he meant the Motzai Shabbos. It's not koveya. That's the Rashba Taras. Shitum Kubetza says a little different. Rav Nachman says Shabbos koveya even by some not nigmar malachta speaks about when you were miyachidit for Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan speaking about when you were not miyachidit for Shabbos. But the Gemara is going to go through what the chiddush is in each of these items. So number one, Shabbos, we have four things where we said that it's not koveya unless it was nigmar malachta. We had Shabbos, Truma, Chatzer, and Mekach. So one by one, what's the Chiddush? Shabbos lafukei mid Hillel. To tell me that Shabbos is not koveya tells me to not hold like Hillel. Detanya ma'am repairs makom makom liktzar v'kiddush alein ayom. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Hillel atzmo oser, that Hillel himself had this shita that it was aser. Meaning Hillel held that Shabbos is koveya even by davar shalom negam ramlachto. But that's Hillel's shita, and he wants to tell me not to hold like Hillel. Fractosos, what do you mean? We just spent the whole amud over here telling us that that's also Reb Lazar's shita. So you want to tell me what the Chiddush is? The Chiddush is telling me not to say like Reb Lazar. What do you have to say? The Chiddush is telling me not to say like Hillel. So Tosfos says, because it's no Chiddush not to say like Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar Shamutehu. Reb Lazar Shom Talmidei Beis Shammai. So that's the Chiddush. That's no Chiddush to say against Reb Lazar. It's a Chiddush to say against Hillel. Second thing that we said is not Koveh when you don't have a Gemar Melacha. Chatzer. On top of Laman Hayim Beis. Chatzer. What's the Chiddush? Lafukim mid Rabbi Yaakov. Tell me not to hold like Rabbi Yaakov. Ditran. I'm avir tenu b'chatzer. That if a person brings te'enim into his chatzer in order to dry them, so to spread them out to dry, the members of his household are allowed to still snack on them, and they're potter from meiser. But Rabbi Yaakov says they're chayiv, even though if you still want to dry them, it means that they didn't have a gemar malacha yet, because you still plan on drying them. So even though they had a rias panei chatzer, but they didn't have a gemar malacha. So Rabbi Yaakov says, still, it's going to be chayiv, even without a gemar malacha. So Rabbi Yosef reviewed this as potter, and we come such to Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell us not to pass on like Rabbi Yaakov. Truma, what is the Chiddush in telling me that Truma is not Koveya Lemaiser when there's no Nigmar Malachto? So Lafuke means Rabbi Eliezer, to tell me to hold against Rabbi Eliezer. Wait, didn't we just get through saying that it's no Chiddush to hold against Rabbi Eliezer? Yeah, but if you don't have anyone else to be Lafuke, then absent any other opinion Lafuke, so we have to go with Rabbi Eliezer. So in a Chinami, it's not a great Chiddush, but okay, just to inform us, Lafuke means Rabbi Eliezer. Ditnan, Perosh Shetarma Nachlo Nigmar Malachta. If a person took Truma from Peros before it had a Gemar Malacha, Rabbi Eliezer also lechem lein arai v'chem matur. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to eat from them arai, and the Chama say you are allowed to snack on them. And the fourth one, Mekach, so Kedetanya, we have a Brisa that says as follows. Halokech te'in me'ama aretz b'makom sherov b'nei adam dorsin. So before we get to what the Mekach is la'afuke, the Gemara just tells us the following Brisa. If a person buys te'inim from an ama aretz in a place where most people are doris the te'inim, meaning you bought raw te'inim and most people still have other things to do with it, most people are going to make fig cakes or something, so it's not considered Gemar Malacha yet. Ochel me'an arai, so you're still allowed to snack from them, uma asron demai. But you're going to have to take maisers from them as demai, meaning you don't have to take truma gedola, because amei aretz are trusted in truma gedola, but you will have to take maisers from them. So shmami na tlas, we see three things from this brisa. Number one, shmami na mekach eino kaval sel b'davar shenigam ramlachto. First thing we see from this brisa is that a transaction is only going to be koveya to create a chiv of truma samaisros when it had a gemar malacha. Since over here it didn't have a gemar malacha, it's not koveya a chiv of truma samaisros. You're not going to have to be mafresh truma samaisros before you eat from it arai. Number two, we see from here shema mino rov amei aretz ma'asrenhein. You see that the majority of amei aretz take off truma samaisros because we say that you only have to be ma'aser demai. You only have to treat it like demai. So if you only have to treat it like demai, that means you're relying on the fact that most amei aretz take off truma samaisros. Ushma mino. And the third thing that you see from here is ma'asrin demai me amei aretz afil b'davar shlo nigmar malachto, is that you would have to be mafresh demai even when something is not nigmar malachto, because one might have thought, you know, it's true, I can trust that the Amei Aretz took truma gedola off of all of this food. The halach of demai is that we assume that rov Amei Aretz take trumas and maestros, but a significant minority of Amei Aretz only take truma and not maestr. So you have to take maestros again when you buy produce from an Amei Aretz to be choshish for that significant minority. But truma they for sure take. Now we're assuming that even though you're buying something that didn't have a gemar malacha, one could have assumed, yeah, the Amei Aretz is trusted to take truma, and most Amei Aretz we could assume took maestr as well, but that's only if it had a gemar malacha. So this is coming to tell me, no, even if it didn't have a gemar malacha, you can assume assume he already took truma. And what's it coming la'afuke, when we say that mekach is not kaveh on something that's not nigmar m'lachto, la'afuke, mehadu tanan, it's coming to tell me not to say like the following Mishnah, ha'machlef perosim chaveros, ze lechol v'ze lechol, if a person trades peros with his friend, each one decides, each one wants to eat, so zeliksos, or each one is not nigmar m'lachto, each one wants to still dry the peros, but you trade, I want to dry grapes and you want to dry mangoes, so we trade peros for each other. Or zelechol v'zeliktos, one of them wants to eat it and one of them is not nigmar m'lachta, wants to dry it. Chayiv. In any of these cases, you're going to be chayiv to me after shumas v'maisos right away, because it's koveya, the mekach is koveya, even though it didn't have a gemar melacha. The fact that you did a mekach, machlif, Rashi says, hainu mekach. Machlif is the same thing as mekach. That's considered a legitimate transaction when one is machlif, and therefore that mekach is mechayiv in Shumas Maestros. So Rabbi Yehuda omer lechol chayiv lixos pater. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's only going to be chayiv if you had a gemar melacha. If you plan on eating it, then it's going to be chayiv, because then it's called that it was nigmar melachto. If you only plan on still drying it, so then it was not nigmar melachto, it's not going to be chayv. So when we say that a mekach is not koveya on something that's not nigmar melachto, we're coming la'afuke, the shita of the Tanakama, who says over here that it's going to be chayv, even though it's not nigmar melachto. Now it's interesting that the Rashi identifies chiluf as mekach. So the poskim discuss, if let's say a person sells something to somebody else in order to sell it, and the lokeach makes a tanai with the mocher that he's not allowed to sell it in a certain city. I mean, let's say a person is I sell watches, right? And I want to corner the market of watches in this town. So I sell you a bunch of watches. I'll tanai that you don't sell it anywhere in this town. You have to sell it somewhere else. People do this all the time, and no compete clause in the business. My brother became a moel. Maishala told him, who trained him in Yerushalayim, said, no milas in Yerushalayim. You can only do it when my nephew was born in Yerushalayim, and my sister wanted my brother to come and be the moel. He's not allowed. Maishala has to be the moel. He's not allowed to come and compete in the. So a lot of times you have that in business where you can't compete in this market. So that was the tonight. That was the contract that he signed. So what if he does a chalipin? What if he says, okay, I'll trade you a watch for an iPod or something, and they trade for it. So does that count as a mekach? Is that a violation of the mekach? So this is a discussion in the poskim. The Beis Ephraim deals with this. He says, maybe you could bring a raya from our Mishnah that taka would be a violation of the agreement, because chalipin it describes as mekach. Rashi says that this is a mekach. So he says it could be that it's not such a great raya, because it could be that the reason of the Gemara is that since it's neschayv meiser, it's in Schayv Meisr because it looks like Mekach Memkar, even though it doesn't really have a din of Mekach Memkar. The Chiv of Meisr is that it's Koveya since it looks like Mekach Memkar. There are other places where this comes up. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayis in Meisr Sheni says that which we say that Meisr Sheni Ein Mochrim Oso Ve'Ein Machlifin Oso. The Rambam says, why Ein Machlifin Oso? Why can't you exchange Meisr Sheni? Because he says that's the same thing as Mochrim Oso. It's the same thing as a Mekach. So there's an important line of Rashi, where Rashi just makes the assumption that a chalipin is the same as an actual mekach. Now, one more point before we start the next parak. We said one of the things we learned from this Mishnah is that Rov Amei Arutz Ma'asun Hein. The Arsameach and Ilchas Meister is a very fundamental question. He says, you know how I know Rov Amei Arutz Ma'asun Hein? Every single Mishnah, Maseches Demai, the whole Masechta is about that. We pick out one Mishnah and say, ah, you see, Rov Amei Arutz Ma'asun Hein. The whole Masechta is about the fact that Rov Amei Arutz Ma'asun Hein, we're only being choshesh for the miyut, that's not ma'aser, and therefore there are a whole bunch of kulas by demai that you wouldn't have by regular tevel. It's the entire Masechta. So why is it that we see from this Mishnah that Rov Amei Arutz Ma'asun Hein? So the Meshchachma points out that from this we could bring a raya to the Shitas HaRambam, that Midar Raisa, someone who's kona after Miruach, after you even out the piles, is not chayiv in Meisr. The whole chayiv of Meisr is only Midrabanan. So when it says in the Mishnah that you're kona from Ma'aretz, you need to be Ma'asr Demai, it could be that only Mechza Amei Aretz are Ma'asrim, and Sveka Drabanan Lakula. And it's Dafka from this Mishnah where we say that even if you bought it Koda Miruach, even if you bought it before you had you smoothed out the pile, where the chiyuv to be ma'aser is midal raisa. So now you're dealing with the suffix dal raisa, and still we say no. You could only treat it. You could still treat it like the ma'i. You don't have to treat it like tevel gomor. That's how we know that it's not mechzal mechza. Because if we're mechzal mechza, you'd have to treat it like tevel gomor, because then it would be a suffix dal raisa. So and suffix dal raisa l'chumri is assuming is a din dal raisa. So the fact that you could treat it like the ma'i is a raya that rov ha'me'ar, that it's a rov and that it's not a mechza or mechza. It's not a regular suffix. Okay, hadron lacha. Maybe now we begin the final parak of Maseches Beitza. Mashilim peres derech haruv b'yomtov avalob b'shabbos. A person has fruits that are drying on his roof on Yantif. He's allowed to lower them through a skylight on Yantif, but not on Shabbos. Why would he want to lower them? So Rashi says because it's about to rain. So he wants to protect the roof, protect the fruits from getting ruined by the rain. So first of all, a couple of points in Rashi over here. First of all, he says that Rashi writes that we're talking about that you put chitin sa'orin, you put grain up there to dry. So Shindig Betzis explains that dafka chitin sa'orin. If he would have said peros tam, it would have implied figs and grapes and those things as well. He says, but those things are tzimukim. Those things become absolute muktza that you're not allowed to be metaltal at all. This is only a kula that we have for chitin sa'orin that are put out there to dry. The other point in Rashi is that Rashi says that it's about the rain, that would be because they can get ruined from the rain. That's why we allow this tircha on Yantif. But it sounds like that they only allow it because of the loss of the peros. The Rambam just writes bistama in Hilchos Yom Tov Parakei Halacha. Hey, Ram writes mishayulo peros al gago tzarich lefnosam lemakom acher, and you need to move them for some reason. He doesn't say for what reason. He doesn't say that it's going to rain. So it sounds like any sort of reason. For some reason, you want to move them. It doesn't have to be that they're going to get ruined. It doesn't have to be that it's going to rain. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch uses the lashon of the Rambam that mashilim peros derech haruv b'yom tov without saying anything, not a word about rain. It doesn't say anything about the rain. The Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch says no, it must be that it's about to rain, but it doesn't sound like that. It doesn't sound like that from the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in fact, in the next line of the Mishnah, what does it say? Mechasim peros pekelim b'pnei adelef. If you have peros that are right underneath a leak, you're allowed to cover. You're allowed to take a kli to cover those peros to protect them from the leak. So that's where the Mishnah identified what the threat is, why you would need to protect these peros. But in the first line, never identified that there was water coming, that it was gonna that it was rain that was threatening. So that's a chiddush of Rashi. V'chein kadayin v'kadayshem, and also jugs of wine and oil. If there's a leak right over them, you're allowed to put a kli on top of them to protect them from getting ruined. V'nosin kli tachsedel b'shabbos. You're also allowed to put a kli underneath a leak on Shabbos. So again, why is all of this mutter? Because of the hefsid. Something is going to get ruined, Rashi explains, and because it's going to get ruined, we allow you to be metaltal the muktza in this way by moving it. There's a discussion, this is only by Yantif, Post can point out, but not by Shabbos. By Shabbos, we're not going to necessarily be matir because of that the hefsid, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second. Itmar, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nassan, Chatani Mashilin v'Chatani Mashchilin. What is the first word of this parak? This parak is called parak, so we call it Mashilin because that's what we have as the first word. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nassan actually had a machlokas. One said Mashilin, one said Mashchilin. It all means the same thing anyway. Amra Zutra, Mandatani Mashilin lo Mishtabish, Mandatani Mashchilin lo Mishtabish. They're both correct. Mandatani Mashilin lo Mishtabish. How do I know? Shilin means to lower. Dichsiv ki yishal zeisecha. It says to lower your olives. Umandatani mashchilin lamishtabish titznan hashachul vakosel. When we describe different trefos of an animal, one of them is a shachul. Shachul means shenishmata yirecho, that its thigh became dislocated, which means it fell. It fell out of place. So again, it means to lower. Kassel she'echon mi'erachos of gvah mechavirta. Kassel means that it has that one of its thighs is higher than the other. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, mandatani mashirin lamishtabish. We have three more lashonas it could be. Mandatani mashirin lamishtabish, mandatani mashchirin lamishtabish, and mandatani manashirin lamishtabish. How do we know that all of these words all mean lower? Mandatani mashirin lamishtabish, not Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, nazir lo yachav rosho ba'adama, m'nesha meshir esaseir. The esaseir, a nazir is not allowed to treat his hair with a type of shampoo made from earth, made from the ground, because that's going to remove the hair hair from his head, and the Nazir is not allowed to remove any hair from his head. But how do we say remove? Meshir, that it's going to make it fall off. It's going to make it drop down. Uman detani mashchirin lamishtabish titnan hashachar vazug shel saparim av blishenech gutmein. So shachar is a type of blade. Why is it called shachar? Because it makes hair go away, and it's called shachar having to do with black, because the roots are normally blacker than the white ends of the hair. So that's why it's mashchir. It makes it look blacker. But the bottom line is that it also relates to lowering something or removing something. Uman detani manshirin lamishtabish. Manshirin is also not a mistake. Titnan mishenashu kelev b'mayim mahalich b'amenu choshesh. If a person's clothing got soaked in water, he can continue to walk and he doesn't have to worry about it at all. So inami mehad detan ezu leket hanosher b'shas katsira. Or another way that we know that manshirin also means to lower something, because we said what is leket? The Mishnah says that which is nosher, that which falls off b'shas katsira. So we see that that's also called that's also lashon of lowering something down. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll stop there. We'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.